Love without pain is a lie. On these premises, self-control means the mastery of our impulses to conform to the mind and will of the Creator. That's why we have a free will to choose to do the will of God. Needless to say, not everything we want, we change the accent, not everything we want is pleasing to Him, and not everything we dislike is contrary to His will. Self-control means mastering our thoughts and desires to correspond to the infinite mind and will of God. Let me spend a few more minutes on this subject. The key to self-control is controlling our thoughts. There is no way we can master our conduct unless and until and only insofar as we master our thoughts. Every thought spontaneously leads to a desire. Every desire spontaneously leads to an action. Every action spontaneously leads to a habit. It all begins with our thoughts. That is why the church founded by the incarnate God is telling us to have frequent access to what Jesus Christ has instituted in the sacrament of confession. We need, all of us, beginning with the speaker, we need the light which this sacrament assures us and the strength we so desperately need to surrender ourselves. I have capitalized selves to the Almighty Self from whom we came and for whom we were made. How well I know, and how we need frequent confession to grant us from God that self-mastery so that we will surrender our wills to the will of the God on whom we constantly depend and on whom our destiny depends. What is the value of frequent confession? We become more sinless. By the frequent and reverent reception of the sacrament of penance, we make more perfect what we call the justification we first received in baptism. What does this mean? It means we become more and more sinless. Christ thereby exercises His saving redemption on our souls by cleansing us, and I repeat, more and more, and thus preparing us better and better for that kingdom of glory where nothing undefiled can enter, and where only the sinless have a claim to enjoy the vision of the all-holy God. And who in his right mind would claim that he or she is already sinless? Heaven is not just another word. Heaven is the purpose of our existence. And no one reaches heaven unless sin has been removed. What is a wonderful divinely given benefit of frequent confession? We become more conformed to Jesus Christ. What are we talking about? We become more like Jesus Christ in the power to practice the virtues that characterize his visible life on earth. What virtues are they? We become more humble and better able to conquer our foolish and stubborn pride. And as we've said, the very humiliation of telling our sins to another sinner is God's way of telling us, if you confess, I will make you more humble. We become more patient in bearing with pain and enduring the people that God puts into our lives, to love them and hear it and suffer from them. I often think that pain should have a masculine or feminine gender. Most of our suffering, most of the difficulties and problems and tribulations that we have to endure on earth, if your lives are like mine, come from other people. Of course, we pay them the favor of being corresponding graces of tribulation in their lives. I hope I'm clear. The patient endurance of another person is a powerful source of grace for that person. Through this sacrament, we become more conformed to Jesus by becoming more prayerful and greater awareness of God's majesty and therefore our need to pay attention to God, and in greater awareness of our weakness and constant need for assistance from the Lord. Oh, how preoccupied we can be with, you name it, what creatures, especially the one creature, oh, so dear, so precious, so loving in our lives. And as we know, not coincidentally, that person has our name. This is one place where Jesus did not have to pray to overcome his sinful tendencies. Hear it. Jesus Christ assumed a truly human nature. But Christ did not have a fallen human nature. Christ did not have to pray, as we sure do, to conquer, control, and subdue his sinful impulses. But as sinners, by our very existence, as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we have, I repeat, a fallen human nature with sinful urges, for which we need constantly God's supernatural help, which the Church assures us is promised through the frequent reception of the sacrament of confession. Above all, we become more loving in giving and giving and giving ourselves according to the divine will, even as Jesus kept giving himself to the will of his Father, even to the last drop of his blood. We are on earth to give ourselves to those whom God put into our lives, to God. Let me tell you, you know it in your lives, I know it in mine. To give yourself to others generously means to embrace the cross. We, by the frequent reception of the sacrament become more submissive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, dwelling in the depths of our hearts, I'm assuming we are all in God's divine friendship. In other words, in His grace. This Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. Well, what a safe statement. We are not always listening to Him. We are so busy with so many things, so preoccupied with ourselves. Our interests and concerns is often not only the unseen, but I'm afraid the unappreciated guest in our souls. As John the Baptist said of the Savior to his contemporaries, "There is one in your midst whom you do not know." If we're going to be submissive to the Spirit of God, the first condition is that we are aware that there is a Holy Spirit, that He has a voice and is speaking in the depths of our souls. You do not listen to silence, and this is divine speech. Oh, how many hours I would like to spend on almost every sentence in this conference. The Spirit of God wants nothing more than for us to pay attention to Him. Pay Him the courtesy, if you will, of recognizing that He is within you. The Spirit of God wants us to thank Him for all the good things He has given us. He wants us to keep asking Him. That is why what we stupidly call, that's why we have problems. There are no problems in life. Zero. They are God reminding us to turn to Him and ask for His help. What we call problems are divine shouts. Listen to me. Then if we wake up, He says, "Thanks. Thanks for at least looking at me." 50+ years in the priesthood have taught me an awful lot. Talk about self-preoccupation. Talk about being unaware of the presence of God in the depths of our souls. And the Lord will tell us, except for the pain or sorrow or trial or temptation, you will not even pay attention to me. And now that we have a problem, as we mistakenly call it, I repeat, He says, "Thanks." Now that you are awake, listen. So we rub our eyes and say, "Yes, Lord." How unaware we can be of the God except for whom we would not even exist. But mainly, the Holy Spirit wants us to be submissive to His will, whether it's be obedience to His commands when He tells us, "Do this or do not do that," or when He gently invites us to do something more than we have to under penalty of sin, when He just whispers, "Would you mind doing this?" or "Would you mind avoiding that?" And not because you have to, but because I would like you to show that you love me. All of this, and far more than human speech can describe, is available to us. So the Church of God tells us there are frequent and reverent reception of the sacrament of Christ's peace. So much for part one. Now part two. The psychological value of frequent confession. The frequent reception of this sacrament is also immensely beneficial psychologically. In other words, the reception of confession contributes to the well-being of our mind. In one declarative sentence, it is a divinely instituted means of giving us peace of soul. Remember what happened on Easter Sunday night? As described by St. Luke, I'm quoting, "The doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, 'Peace be with you,' and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. He said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you.' After saying this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained.'" The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. As the Catholic Church infallibly teaches, by these words of the risen Savior, he instituted the sacrament of confession. For 20 centuries, it has been called the sacrament of peace. The principle, the deepest source of conflict in the human spirit is the sense of guilt. Psychologists tell us, and with a graduate degree in psychology, I can't say this reliably. Psychologists tell us it's a mysterious feeling of guilt which lies at the root of most people's disquiet of mind and disturbance of will. On both levels, the sacrament of confession is the Lord's great gift to his followers. Peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. We all know we are sinners. We also know that as sinners, we have offended God and become estranged from his love in the measure of our sins. How we need the assurance, based on faith, that this offended God is still pleased with us. When Christ tells us that there is greater joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance and over 99 just, he is speaking of us who have deserved his rejection. The more often we receive his sacrament of mercy, the more deeply we are at peace. I have struggled with too many people in my half century of priestly experience. Oh, the worry, the anxiety, the disturbance, years after someone may have offended God gravely. And this is where the sacrament of confession, the more frequently it is received, the more peace of mind the Holy Spirit assures us. I know what I'm talking about. Now we turn to peace of heart. Peace of heart is the experience of doing the will of God. There is no peace in doing what we want. I know what I'm saying when I say that doing one's own will is hell on earth. That is why Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of confession. I have only one fear as I share these thoughts with you. My one fear is that having, and I thank you, charitably, kindly, listen to what I'm saying. My only fear is you will take this, well, I won't say with a grain of salt, but not realize what is so very, very, very true. The more frequently we receive the sacrament of peace, the more deep will God's peace be in our minds and in our hearts. There are too many troubled souls, and sadly, they are not just people who are steeped in sin, because the sense of guilt can go on for years after the sin is committed. The more frequently we confess our failings, no matter how minor or small they may be, the more deeply peaceful we shall be. Why? Because if there is one thing that God wants us to admit and keep admitting, it is that we are sinners who trust in His loving mercy. How well I know, teaching, for example, so many Protestants, including those in their divinity schools. How many have told me, if only I could believe, as you Catholics believe, and by going to confession, I am once more in the friendship of God. And I repeat, the more frequently we receive this sacrament of peace, the deeper and more experienced, the more salutary, dare I say it, the more joyful will our hearts be. I think there is some value in explaining what the Catholic Church understands by guilt. And here, our dictionaries are no help. As I've said so often, the English language is profoundly Protestant. In the language of our faith, guilt is the loss of God's grace. Every time we sin, we lose more or less of the grace of God. And the more deeply we have sinned, the more guilt we incur. Guilt has nothing to do with feelings. Guilt is an objective loss of God's grace. In fact, that's what mortal sin means. It is called mortal, otherwise spelled deadly, because, as we know, we have two lives. We better have two lives. A life for the body, given us by our souls, and a life in the soul given to us by God's grace. And mortal sin is a supernatural death of the soul by the loss of God's grace. Only one desire, one hope, one ambition should we have. When our bodies die, then our souls will be alive with the grace of God. However, let me be clear. All sin incurs guilt. Every sin we commit deprives us of more or less of the grace of God. The subjective experience that is called guilt is only the tip of an iceberg. Beneath the feeling of guilt is the objective fact that we have been deprived, however minimally, of God's friendship. I like the statement of St. Thomas Aquinas. I quote, one simple declarative sentence. The act of sin may pass, and yet the guilt remains. The more frequently we receive the sacrament of Christ's mercy, the more grace is restored to our soul. We can experience the effect by growing in that peace of soul for which there is no substitute this side of heaven. Once we realize and are absolutely sure that in spite of our sins, God loves us. Loves us with that special love he reserves for repentant sinners. And the more often we receive his sacrament of mercy, the deeper will be God's life in our souls, and the more our life here on earth in his valley of tears will be, and I mean this literally, a foretaste of heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for instituting the sacrament of your mercy. Open our eyes, we beg you, to see the blessings in store for us by the frequent reception of this wonderful gift, so that, going in your love through the frequent reception of the sacrament of confession, you'll grow in that joy which is a preparation for the everlasting happiness for which we are made. Lord Jesus, we love you. Mary, Mother of Mercy, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.